Amen. Please be seated. Our gospel lesson this morning is Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. The gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 6, beginning in verse 46, where Jesus concluded this famous sermon of his as relayed to us by Luke. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Let's look to our God once again in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight and edifying for your people, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, to the glory of God our Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and in the powerful name of Jesus our Savior, we pray. Amen. Jesus had been using various illustrations to teach us about life in his kingdom, physical poverty and hunger, cloaks and tunics, grain running over into our laps, logs and splinters in our eyes, trees and fruits and treasure chests. Now he uses the illustration of construction. Construction. So put on your hard hat. Think of the Bob the Builder theme song. Get ready. Construction. Building a house. Your house. On solid or not so solid ground. In Matthew's account, Jesus described the man who built his house on the rock as wise. This is a wise man, the man who built on the sandy ground as foolish. So in this parable, Jesus is calling us to be wise. He is calling us to be wise about what or whom we build our house on. He calls us to be wise and build the house of our lives on the rock. 2 points this morning. First, building our lives on the rock. And second, the blessing that such spiritual construction brings. First, building our lives on the rock. Jesus prefaced this parable by asking a question in verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Lord means master, one who is obeyed. So why do you call me Lord, Lord, master, master, and not do what I tell you? Evidently, in Jesus' day, as in our own, there were those who claimed to be his follower without really listening to what he himself said and following through on it. So Jesus was calling religious people, even religious people who in some sense called Jesus of Nazareth Lord, into a genuine relationship with him, in which he really is Lord of our lives. Thus, beginning in verse 47, he illustrated this point, saying, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man, a wise man, building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock." By contrast, in verse 49, "But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man, a foolish man, who built a house on the ground without a foundation." So a wise man builds a house in such a way as to plan for the future. He knows that rain is coming. In the ancient Near East, the rainy season is coming. Gully washers are on the horizon. So building your house on topsoil will not do. You must dig down until you find rock and build your house on that foundation. The spiritual lesson: Jesus is that rock. Jesus Christ is the rock on which you must build your house. The house of your life. If you want to be secure. If you want to prosper spiritually. If you want to endure all that is coming your way. Trials, temptations, ups and downs, death and judgment. In Matthew's account, this is made even clearer. Before this parable, Jesus said, beginning in verse 21 of Matthew 7, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." On that day, what day is he speaking of? The day of judgment, the day of his return, as we professed earlier. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. On that day, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you." Never had this personal relationship with you. "Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." So Jesus was saying, if you want to be ready for what is coming, if you want to have abundant life now and in the future, then build your life on the rock, which is Christ himself. What does it mean to build your life on Christ? Jesus said in verse 47, it is, in the first place, coming to him. Very important image. Coming to him. What did he mean by that? He meant coming to him in faith. He meant believing in him as Savior. He meant acknowledging that you are a sinner in the sight of God, that you deserve his punishment, that you are unable to save yourself, and that you are without hope of salvation except for God's love and mercy. Sound familiar? It means believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of sinners, and receiving, very important language, receiving and trusting him alone for your salvation. That is what he meant when he said, "Whoever comes to me." It means to do as Tessa professed earlier in our service that she has done and that she is doing. It means to trust in Jesus. Entrust yourself, your life, your eternity, everything you are, everything you have, to Jesus. Remember, Jesus was teaching these things in contrast to the teachings of the scribes and the Pharisees, the Christless, Christ-rejecting teachers of the law, these grace-allergic, legalistic, ungracious, unloving, impersonal religious teachers. To them, Jesus said in John 5, 39 and 40, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me." But, here's the problem with Pharisees. "But you refuse to come to me that you may have life." Perhaps passages like that led St. Augustine to say this about our passage this morning. "Let us consider the Scripture of God as being a field where we want to build something. Let us not be lazy or content with the surface. Let us dig more deeply until we come to rock. The rock which is Christ." So the person who refuses to come to Jesus in humble, childlike faith and dependent and rest in Him for salvation is a fool. No matter how much Bible he may profess to know. He is building his life and eternal future on sinking sand. But the one who comes to Jesus and trusts Jesus, really trusts Jesus, is wise. He is building his life on the unfailing, immovable rock. He can say, "On Christ, the solid rock, I stand, all of the ground, sinking sand." Jesus went on to say in verse 47, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them is wise." Faith in Jesus is a lived out faith. It is a faith that is expressed through doing the words he speaks to his disciples. What words had Jesus just spoken to his disciples in this sermon he was now concluding? Again, most fundamentally, he was calling them to come to him for salvation. The person who does that is wise and safe and secure forever. But in addition to that, or along with that, Jesus was teaching his disciples to do certain things that show that his saving grace is at work in our lives. What did he call his disciples to do? Verse 27. "I say to you who hear, love your enemies." He goes on to say more about that. How to do that, as we've considered in previous sermons. But that is what he called his disciples to do, in sum, is love. Even your enemies. That is the hallmark of a child of God. Love. Even those who hate you, curse you, abuse you, slander you. That is how you look like Jesus and show you are in a relationship with Him. That is how you do the will of your Heavenly Father. Those who do the will of my Heavenly Father, He says, I will welcome into my kingdom. That is how you do the will of your heavenly Father and show that you are his sons. Remember, he said in verse 35, love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. That's how you evidence you are a child of God, as you love. Why? For he, the Heavenly Father, is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Love. Even and especially those who are not kind to you. This is how you bear witness to the Spirit's presence in your life, who takes the things of Christ and shows them to you. In John chapter 13, John records what Jesus was doing on the night he was betrayed. On the eve of his crucifixion, on the night he instituted the supper. Before us this morning, John chapter 13 tells us that Jesus did the unthinkable. The Lord got down on his knees and washed his servants' feet and called them his friends. But he served them. And we read in John 13:12 these words. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord. Lord, Lord, you call me. And you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, notice the connection back to the Sermon on the Mount. If you know these things, serving as I have served, loving as I have loved you. If you know these things and do them, you are blessed. And then down in verse 34, after washing his disciples' feet and telling them, one of you is going to betray me, and I'm going to let this happen because I love those who will, all those who will trust in me, come to me and trust in me. I'm going to allow myself to be betrayed in the hands of sinful men and beaten beyond recognition and crucified and buried. This is what he said in verse 34, a new commandment, a new law, the summary law. The summary Christian ethic, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So Jesus was saying, it's not the ability to do or say religious stuff that indicates you are wise in building your spiritual house. It is love. St. Paul put it this way, 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Jesus was saying, the wise man builds his life on the enduring, everlasting rock. He comes to Jesus, entrusts himself to Jesus, and seeks to follow Jesus through his teachings and example in this Jesus-shaped way of love. First, building your life on the rock, and second, briefly, the blessing that such spiritual construction brings. Lots of blessings, as we've seen in the Sermon on the Mount. Satisfaction of soul, eternal riches, heavenly laughter and joy. Here I just want to encourage you with this blessing. Security. Security. Jesus said of the man who built his house on the rock in verse 48, when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. By contrast, verse 49, the other guy, when the stream broke against his house, immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. What a contrast. If you haven't built your life on Jesus yet, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, if you haven't come to Him and believed in Him, come to Him today. Build your life on the rock, and you'll be secure forever. And join all those who are secure in Jesus and who are seeking by the help of the Spirit, as Tess also professed in her vow, to follow His example and live a life of love and forgiving and giving in His name. If that describes you, you have every reason to be safe, feel safe and secure, because you are safe and secure. And don't let anybody try to disturb that security. You know who Jesus is, and you're trusting in Him. And so you rejoice that you are safe and secure in Him. As you receive, dear Christian, the bread and cup by faith, let them assure you, that's why they have been instituted, to assure you that you are secure in Jesus, who is your rock and your fortress and your refuge, the God who delights in you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.